Welcome to the inaugural episode of Foss and Crafts Theater, a new sub-show of Foss and Crafts where we introduce you to fresh and exciting new free cultural content. Perhaps you've already listened to Foss and Crafts Episode 1, where Chris and Morgan talk about using narrative role-playing games as a way to generate collaborative stories. Feedback to that show was most enthusiastic, including to the idea of doing live demonstrations of role-playing game productions. And so now, we have a story for you crafted using the Freeform Universal System explained in Episode 1. We are most excited to introduce to the stage two veteran players of roles, Nick and LP. They join Morgan in performing as three demonic office workers, working for the interdimensional corporate conglomerate known as Demonstrative Industries. From there, they are given a special assignment, one which, as we will see, gets quickly out of control for the enjoyment of us all. And so, without further ado, on with the show! Hello, everybody. We are joined here with our friends Nick and LP, who we have played RPGs with for quite a long time. We're excited to have them here for a Freeform Universal game, using some characters from kind of these office demons and a demon dimension game we played in the past. And they're kind of reviving their characters for some new shenanigans. So why don't we go through and have everybody introduce their characters? We'll start with Morgan. So, Morgan, why don't you introduce your character, starting with their name and going through their various descriptions?
My character's name is Styx. She is a manic pixie nightmare who is less than 6 inches tall and hovers, usually right over someone's shoulder, trying to convince them to do something they shouldn't do. She has a secret crush on Ambrosia, who is her shoulder angel counterpart, because she spends more time with Ambrosia than she spends with her coworkers. And her descriptors are shoulder demon, manic pixie nightmare, do it. And then she's got an item, which is pixie dust, that she can use to help convince people to do things. And then another descriptor is everyone makes bad decisions. And her flaw is an attention span as short as she is.
All right, great. LP, why don't you introduce your character?
Sure. My character's name is Hefia, and her concept is she is an entropy demon, and she likes to pop up anywhere where humans, in their hubris, forget that the devil really is in the details. One of her descriptions is just desserts. She really likes when the punishment fits the crime. She appears to humans as a Victorian-looking woman of color with an oddly amorphous skirt. And she's the regional manager of the human resources department in the demon dimension, which is the department that manages what it perceives as its human resources. And her item is an oxidizing staff. And her flaw is that she tends to be slow to act, as entropy often is.
Then finally, we have Nick's character.
I'm Nick. I'm playing Mr. Gzumphy Bear, who is a greater demon of minor inconvenience. He's determined to play the long game to cultivate chaos and despair, and best known as a purveyor of poor decisions. He's pretty sure that all you need is a little push. But if you come across him, the most important thing to know is that he's nearly off-putting enough to say something about, generally in appearance, manner. He carries a Casio calculator watch on a shoelace that lets him peer slightly into the future. And his biggest flaw is his excessive stick-to-itiveness. That becomes readily apparent when you see he is some sort of nightmarish, giant, demonic gummy bear looking thing.
Okay, great. All of you are coming in for a fresh day of work at the office. You're settling in for the day. What kind of things before as you're kind of settling into the day, what are you doing as you're getting into the office?
Mm-hmm. My workspace is a little cubby, like on the shelves of office supplies and stuff like that. I just have a little space worked out for myself instead of a full cubicle for someone my size. So I'm flying up to my cubby.
Nick, why don't you describe what your character?
So at this point, he's settling into the office in the morning, and it tends to make a lot of noise as stuff kind of moves around, and he's trying to get comfortable in his chair, but it's it's a very large gummy bear in a rather small chair, so all you can hear is him just squeaking the chair back and forth, and the squishing that accompanies as he tries to, like, fit into it.
Is it a pleather chair, too?
Oh, absolutely. I don't like that.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Hexia, what are you doing?
Hexia actually she's been at the office probably for about an hour already. She does like a nice slow start to her morning, which means getting up just a little bit early. So she doesn't have hush because she doesn't like that. And right now she is working on, she's got sort of her like naughty and nice lists with the humans, and her particular focus right now is on places in the world where infrastructure has been allowed to crumble due to negligence and misappropriation of public funds. So she has her nice list, which is the folks who have been blowing the whistle on those things. And then she has her naughty list, which are the folks who have been allowing it to happen. Because she became a demon because she died in an industrial accident that was the result of human negligence. So she is finding ways to mess with the people who are being negligent, whether it's, you know, making sure that their car is rusting through or encouraging that mold growth in their attic and trying to do to prevent those things in the folks who have been, you know, trying to help. So that's her current pet project.
Okay. So Hexia, as you're settling in and going through that list and stuff, you see the secretary Fraglath comes into your office, and she comes by and says, Hexia, yeah, that BTB wants to see you and your reports of the gummy bear guy and that tiny pixie lady. And wants you to have them all come up to the office. So
did he mention why?
I don't know. When the Omni CEO wants you to come up to the office, he usually has some kind of thing. He said something about the zoo. I don't really know. I don't go to the zoo for obvious reasons of it being a terrifying thing.
I will let them know.
All right, great.
And she just slides her sluggy body right out of there. Okay, great. I'm assuming you're gonna gather your coworkers and bring them to the elevator that goes all the way to the top of the building then?
Yes.
Okay. So you can stop by both of their desks and grab them, and I'm assuming you're all walking there at the moment. So are you catching up?
I am hovering,
anything?
Excuse me.
Okay, you're some of you are hovering, some of you...
Not all of us use our legs.
Yeah, some of you are probably plodding, and yes. Yeah. Okay, so are you catching up on anything before you enter this elevator and head upstairs, or maybe while in the elevator?
Can I just say that as a matter of practice, I'm just hovering over Hexia's shoulder.
Because I was about to invite you to come and hover in that area.
Aw, thank you. Maybe this is just like how we do it when we interact.
Well, I mean, that makes sense because there's barely enough room in the elevator with me in there anyway, so.
And I do not want to be hovering over your shoulder. I'm sorry, you're slightly off-putting.
Yeah, I definitely keep, like, twitching my skirt away from you.
So, you all work at Demonstrative Industries, and you're in one of the subsidiary buildings, and this building connects to, like, a cluster of buildings. So the elevator goes up and sideways into kind of the center tallest building, where the Omni CEO is, the BTB, which is Boggle T. Boggart, the CEO of Demonstrative Industries, the largest mega conglomerate in all of the Demon Realms. As you get up there, the doors slide open. Maybe before you all go in, I'm going to say everybody should do maybe an even roll, except for, I'm going to give Hexia, since you've got, you're in HR, why don't you roll two die and see whether or not you know anything about the CEO before you show up here, because he's never spoken to you. The Omni CEO has never talked to you before. You've spoken to the CEO of your particular subsidiary previously.
Okay. So Nick and I are rolling one die and Elfie's rolling two?
That's right.
And remind me, am I averaging the two of them?
No, you're taking the best of two.
Best of two, all right.
I got two, so I know nothing.
Okay.
I got six.
Okay, great. Wow. And Nick?
And five, respectively.
A three.
Nice.
Okay. So Morgan just doesn't know anything. Nick, your gummy bear character doesn't know anything about the CEO, but knows lots of things about like the various underlings who have reported to him in the past, mainly because, you know, you've probably helped them get in or out of sticky situations previously. Hexia, being the head of HR and the kind of shrewd manager that you are, you have done your research, and you not only know about Boggle T. Boggart, you know about you have heard some rumorous backstory, and so when the door slides open, you are the one who is not surprised to see a tall-looking, emaciated man with marbled gray and purple skin and curly Q ears that are almost fractal-like, with silver slick back hair and a bushy mustache. And the weird thing about him is not any of that, but that he's seen riding on an enormous toad-like creature. Since you have done your research, you've heard that there was maybe some sort of accident that's led him to be unable to walk, so hence him riding that toad everywhere. But the other thing that you heard in kind of pulling through the rumor mill is that his ears being fractal-like, that's very unusual, because that is a pattern only normally held by the math demons of the math dimensions, who take care of all curating all the mathematical formulas that govern the various multiverses. But he is clearly not a math demon, because math demons are very short and very stout, and this person does not have those properties. So anyway, the door opens and he comes plodding around on this giant toad around the front of the desk and says, "Oh, welcome. It's so good to see all three of you, wonderful employees of our mega conglomerate. Please sit down." And he gestures at three leather chairs that are surrounding his desk.
Can I remain hovering?
You can remain hovering. You may want
to. Or do I have to sit in a giant chair?
So actually, I think this would be an appropriate thing. So it's Why don't you actually roll two die and take the worst of the two to see if you can find any way to look respectable as a very tiny fairy with this giant chair?
I got a one for the worst.
Not only do you not look respectable in the least, hovering above awkwardly and then trying to sit on it, and then like getting like a disappointed looking frustrated look at him, and then like you sit on the chair, like you just like drop to the chair to try to like avoid that disappointed look, and now you are just out of sight with, you know, just like trying to peer over the top of his table and not succeeding. So it is not working out well for you. And okay, I'm sorry. Gummy, you're also going to have to roll two die and take the worst of two.
Well, hear me out here. You might make me roll three die.
There he is, always making it worse.
You might just get a foo point right off the bat. Please tell me what you're doing.
Part of the reason the elevator ride up was so cramped was because he wasn't able to get out of his office chair when stomping out of the office. So, in order to change chairs, he needs to stickily detach the one and then settle into the other.
I'll give you a few points if you get such a disappointed look from him that you eventually just decide to try to stack one chair onto the other chair and it does not work, but you just try to ride with it anyway.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So
okay, you don't have to roll. Like, you've already routing. Disappointed him.
You don't have to roll. You failed that all on your own. Okay.
Sticks, I don't feel like you necessarily are going to be having the same problems due to the design of your character. How are you choosing to settle in here? You're probably just sitting down because it's no big deal.
Wait,
it's a chair,
I'm
right?
I'm already...
Sorry, not Sticks. Wait. I mean Hexia.
Could I? So I think you're right. I reasonably just sort of boring looking. So I'm able to just kind of sit. But since these two are sort of in my department, could I try to help Mr. Bear by using my ability, like my entropy, sort of make the chair that's stuck to him disintegrate?
Yes, you can. You can do that, absolutely. I will let you roll two and take the best of two.
All right, I got a four.
Okay. So that's yes. The chair disintegrates underneath him, but then he plops into the chair underneath him, and then the legs give out underneath it, and then that one like the legs just like break all across it and it just drops down another level. So
is there a squelching noise involved here too?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay.
I tried, so, Mr. Bear.
So Boggle
Key
Bogger
is more comfortable.
Boggle is clearly not pleased. But he,
of the three of us, two of us are basically out of sight right now.
I think that even despite having fallen, our friend Gummy Bear there is still able to have a better view over the edge of the desk than you do probably at this point.
Can I ask, can I make the chair hover so that I can at least see over the desk?
Oh, you could try. So if you sprinkle some...
I sprinkle some pixie dust?
Pixie dust, that feels like something acceptable for pixie dust to do. So why don't you roll two and take the best of two?
Okay. I got a five.
Okay. Yeah. That works. And you hover up. And he is looking very disappointedly at all of you. And then Morgan's character, Sticks, hovers up a bit. And he kind of gives a resigned, okay, well, at least that was some effort. And, and like, just decides to let it slide. So, so here is... So anyway, what BTB, which is what everybody
calls the CEO Boggletee Bogart. What he says is, so as some of you know, the zoo is a very delicate place, and unfortunately a creature has escaped from the zoo. Roll to die, everybody, and take the best of two to see if you know anything about the zoo.
5.
Double sixes.
5.
Okay, so everybody here knows that the zoo stands for the zoological Organism Obstruction and Observation Organization, which is a collection of vats, vaults, cages, and wards to hold in the most terrifying creatures that the demon realm has basically has had milling about it, that the Demonstrative Industries likes to keep locked up in case they could be useful someday. Mm-hmm. The zoo is not somebody... that somebody would probably take their family or anything like that. Gummy, I actually think this would be really fun since you got a 6 there. Do you have some history? Are you actually secretly yourself a zoo escapee?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you are a zoo
escapee. Did you escape by squelching out? Oh.
Just straight through the bars.
Yep, yeah. You just oozed through.
So, you know that zoo breakthroughs are actually incredibly unusual, and you just made it through pure happenstance and stick-to-itiveness, basically. But also because you were greatly underestimated by everybody who is locking up an enormous gummy bear, basically. But it's very unusual for anything to escape from there. So anyway, BTB continues. So unfortunately, one of the organisms that escaped has escaped to Mortaloid 5, which is basically what you know of as Earth. Are basically one of two Earths that are currently running in the multiverse, but like the one that anybody currently cares about. So unfortunately, this would be awfully bad if these things got completely out and on the loose. And he's like, hold on, let me show you a brief presentation. And he basically just presses a button, a projector comes down, and he clicks through a couple of images. And what you see is this large eel-like creature is what it looks like at first glance. Everybody roll to die. Take the best of two to see how observant you're being about these slides here.
4. 2.
5.
Okay. Hexia is just not paying attention to this conversation for some reason, probably because you're having so much difficulty keeping that chair afloat at this point.
Sticks.
I gotta stop messing you two up. So Sticks is keeping...
X's.
Yeah, I think it's Hexia and Sticks. So Sticks is keeping you're so busy keeping the chair afloat that it's hard for you to focus on the presentation. So you're like, yeah, you like thing, whatever, I got it. And Hexia, you got was it a 3 or a 4?
4.
Okay. So yes, you notice that it looks kind of eel-like, but I think that it's kind of difficult for you to focus on because this thing is kind of unsettling for some sort of reason to look at. Just like looking at it feels unsettling. And it's not really clear why it's unsettling. But Gummy, you just look at it and you're like, oh, look at all the cool things. So one of the cool things is it looks kind of like an eel, but it's got two mouths. One of the mouths is facing downwards and kind of looks like an eel or a shark mouth. And it's all chompy, like with a big Cheshire cat grin on it. And one of the mouths is pointing upward and it's like a lamprey. It's like it's like a circle of teeth with a tongue wiggling around in it. And in this, in like, oh, look how cool it is. gosh, wouldn't it be so neat if you had powers like that? In one of the presentations, you see that it kind of forms in and out of shadowy spaces, but it is waterborne, it appears. And anyway, this thing's called the Lamp Morrel, basically. So the Lamp Morrel is apparently escaped, and it's actually not just one of them, but about 12 of them. And they're also fairly large, about 5 feet long. And they've escaped, apparently, or in somewhere near one of the edges of the ocean in one of the large metropolitan cities, Mortaloid 5. So you are being told that there is a contact on Mortaloid 5 that you are to go and meet that will be able to outfit you with the appropriate tooling to basically dispense of these. And the reason why this is so important and why your friend BTB here can only trust such a skilled group such as yourselves is because it's really critical to the success of Demonstrative Industries for some of these planes to not have sufficient proof that we exist. Our income sources will disappear if we can be very easily blamed or ratified as existing. It's harder to be able to get people to be accountable for their sins if they can be easily blamed on an external institution, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. So especially at Hexia, I feel like.
Yeah, so if anybody got a hold of these creatures, since they can move in and out of shadows so easily, that's not something that's very relatively alike to this terrestrial Earth setting on Mortaloid 5. So if anyone were to capture one, that would be most unfortunate for us because they could possibly dissect it. This is a creature you can pin down, sedate, and dissect potentially. And that would be very bad. It would open many, many questions. So you all have been given some short-term licenses to possess, glamorize, and directly interfere with the doings on Mortaloid 5 for these purposes. And he hands you three items. So one is a possession totem, and one is a two-use spell. You can possess any being once and then leaving and enter another being or the same being another time, and then it breaks. There's one glamour spell. You can turn it on once, and then that's the only time you can turn it on, and then it'll have to go away. And then there's one ridiculous outfit kit. So with those three things, hopefully you can manage to make do on Mortaloid 5. And he gives you an address to be able to go, and apparently a gateway has already been opened for you.
Okay.
All right.
Now, does he give each of these items to anyone in particular?
Nope. They're all for you to decide what you want to do with.
Okay.
And it's just, as a group, we have that. We don't each have.
You don't each have one of those things. You have three items. One of them's a possession totem. One of them's a the glamour spell, and one of them's a ridiculous outfit kit.
Okay. Quick question about just how we interact, like the human plane. Are demons in this universe, are we always visible to humans, or do we have to choose to make ourselves visible?
That's a good question. I would say that once you end up entering this plane, you have the ability to move in and out of visibility to some degree, but it's kind of subterfuge. You will be visible if you just walk right into the middle of the street. Somebody could see you, but you can also kind of move from lamppost to lamppost, like kind of like very slickly, if that makes sense.
Wait a second. Can we say that there's an exception for my character who is regularly on the human plane and isn't seen?
Yes. So I think your character is able to basically appear on shoulders and disappear.
I feel like my character's idea wouldn't work if she was just visible.
That's fair. Yeah. I did not give this sufficient thought, admittedly. you're asking me questions I had not really considered. I'm going to say that, yes, you can appear and disappear from basically as a shoulder teleportation mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, you have to fly. And with Hexia and
I'm from the
Bear,
human realm originally.
Yeah, so you can fit in a bit easier. Drumfy Bear, you're gonna have a harder time.
Just a nightmare horror creature.
Yeah,
that clearly belongs nowhere.
I mean, you did take your mandatory training on moving from place to place without being seen in various realms. The person passed you. But it might have just been because they didn't want you snoring in the next class again. So, you know, we'll find out what happens. So you are given all of these items, and there is a portal that's open for you. Is there anything you want to do or pick up or whatever before you end up leaving for this assignment?
Can we try and dress Drummy Bear up before we leave?
Yes.
I was going to ask for a detective hat and trench coat.
That's exactly what I was picturing.
That's what I was gonna say.
Okay.
But it looks all lumpy and off.
Gummy?
Yes.
Roll, you know, I just want you to roll one die and just take it as is to see what you get out of that kit.
Oh no.
Yes.
Well, it's a two, so.
Okay.
You already have an extra fate point you can spend, just saying.
That's true.
Do you want to spend it to be able to get a decent costume, or do you want to just get what I'm going to say you would get for a two?
Oh, God. I'll go with it.
Okay. You do get a detective kit. Now, the ideal thing would be that it was very baggy. It is not very baggy. It is somehow underfitting. So you have a trench coat that you're kind of oozing out of the edge of. But there are gloves. Ugh. But you can put them on. But then they just kind of look a little bit bloated and jiggly. There's basically enough stuff that you can just adhese on every part of your body so that it's not really possible to tell what you are. But you are going to jiggle as you move through things. So it's not going to be a comfortable looking outfit. It's just going to be something that you can technically put on every part of your body. Like a scarf and some sunglasses and the hat and the coat that doesn't fit. You can put every one of them on, but it doesn't really look completely natural.
This is fine. The gloves are a great idea for a creature that doesn't have fingers. Like,
I'm sure you can pour some of your slime into the fingers.
Okay.
I'm picturing it like if you blow up a doctor's glove, yep. Like latex gloves.
Okay, great. So,
I grab my staff. Sure.
Okay, great. You grab your staff. Is there anything else that you all want to do, or do you want to go straight to the portal that's been set up for you and basically the portal lobby?
I have a question that might end up being a roll. Does the Heavenly Realm know about the zoo and the creatures in the zoo?
Good question. I'm just going to roll a die and take it even odds. Yes, they know about it. They are not pleased, but they have not been able to do anything about it.
Okay. I'm wondering if my totally not girlfriend might be able to help out.
She might. I mean, so you could go directly to the portal, but you could also choose to go and take a look at the zoo, or you could choose to, what's your choice effectively on where you want to go first?
I vote directly to portal.
Yes.
Okay.
Ooh, not the zoo. Okay.
All right.
Well, I'm going to grab my date book before we leave from my office, but.
Okay. All right. You have your date book. Which kind of date book is this? Is this like a calendar, or is this like
Yes. The
list of people that you? Yeah. Okay, good. I was really horrified thinking about what like
like the little black bears, book.
Yeah, the Drumpy Bear's little black book would be. That might not be.
I hate it.
That may not be minor inconveniences for whoever would be in that book. So, okay. all right. So
things are sticky instead of slick.
Yeah. So, you can all go through the portal. It is set up. There is basically the portal operator who is sitting at the edge of the room, very Star Trek-like, has opened up the portal for you and looks incredibly bored with their job. It's set up for you to just walk right through.
Cool.
All right.
I'm hovering, not walking.
Okay.
You're being very, very offensive against people who hover here, Chris.
I'm sorry. Okay.
We are noble people of the sea.
We are noble people of the sky. Thank you very much.
All right. So you all travel through the portal, and you end up in the lobby of the adjoining building. Unfortunately, it's not directly in the building of the one that you need to go into. There are two buildings. The one that you've ended up in appears to be a large corporate building, which has a walkway up a couple floors where you could go into, where you could walk across to the other building, or you could choose to go across the street effectively. Why don't we have everybody? So I'm going to say, I'm sorry, Nick, but Hexia and Styx are going to get to roll two die and take the best of two, but I'm sorry, Gummy Bear, you just get to roll one die and just see what you take.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I'm picturing the Frogger situation of Gummy Bear trying to cross the
street. Well, that was a three, so it could have been worse.
I got a five.
Okay.
Five.
Okay. All right, so and Gummy Bear is not paying attention, but has found a bowl full of gummy bears, and it is amazing. So you can do whatever you think is appropriate when Drumpy Bear finds a bowl of gummy bears. What is that, by the way? Would you eat them, or would you stick them on your hands, or what would you do?
Or try and say hello.
Oh, no. I mean, he might just consider, like, there. So, I guess I'm assuming that they're in, like, those little grocery store containers.
No, it's a container that's open for just, like, for some reason, this business thought that it would be good that instead of, like, a bowl full of mints, it would be, like, a bowl full of gummy bears. Okay. But it's just open there. So you could just go and grab some.
This is not COVID appropriate.
No, it's not.
Oh dear. Yeah, I think I'm going to try to save several of my brothers and take them with me.
Okay. So you
up your pockets.
Nope.
Oh no.
All right.
Gonna stuff my face with several gummy bears. You can just see them floating there.
All right, so
you're saving them by eating them?
I'll let them out later. We've just got to get them off this planet first.
Okay.
But I can't carry all of them, clearly. So there's just a, like, sticky goop in the rest of the bowl.
Okay.
So Gummy Bear
now has a mouthful of gummy bears. And and so that was actually an observation roll. That was what Gummy Drumpy Bear observed. Hexie and Styx, what you've noticed is that you are in a corporate building, and the building that is connected on the other end, and where the walkway and also if you just walk across the street go to, is an apartment complex. And both of them appear to be basically based off of the same company. It says, one of them says, the building you're in is Plentiment Industries, and the building across the street is Plentiment Luxury Apartments. And you're supposed to go to the luxury apartments. So you can choose now. Are you going to go across, just walk out right across the street and try to go out there, or travel out across the street? Or are you going to try to take the I'm sorry, this is what it's called, the walkway, or what's your choice here?
Offensive. I vote for the offensively titled walkway, because, like I said, I'm picturing the Frogger scenario of getting Drumpy Bear across the street.
Okay.
Yeah, I vote the walkway.
Okay, so Styx, you can just actually disappear onto the shoulders of either Hexia or Drumpy Bear if you want to in this scenario.
Yeah, I choose Hexia.
Okay. You're always welcome, friend.
All right. Now, so I'm just going to have you roll two die. I'm going to have Hexia, you can roll two die and take the best of two, and Drumpy Bear, roll two die and take the worst of two. I'm going to give you a fate point in advance for whatever happens here. As you try to get across this bridge.
I have a 3.
Okay. And what did you get, Drumpy Bear?
A 1.
Okay. So you two are just trying to get to the initial destination. And in the process, no, it's not the case, Hexia, that you do not avoid suspicion. Various people apparently started noticing your staff corroding things as you were walking by. And what do you do when you end up getting kind of shocked looking at stairs with people putting their hands over their mouths as this happens?
Could you give me an idea of exactly what I'm corroding?
I think it's the handrail that's near the edge, near the window, basically, is just kind of corroding, idly as you're walking by. You didn't realize that your staff was basically rubbing against it.
Okay. I am going to sort of, I'm kind of shifting my purse. And make a comment about how I'm really glad that I hadn't gotten around to using that off-brand hand sanitizer on my hands yet.
Okay. You do that and kind of unsettlingly say that as people are walking by, and in the middle of you trying to justify that, Drumpy Bear is trying to play it cool and trying to wander down the hallway. And is not playing it cool and is sloshing around and basically gets overtaken as the amount of attention of basically jostling down the hallway. And I think, Drumpy Bear, you panic so much that you end up starting into a run, which ends up resulting in you tripping and rolling and just rolling a slimy trail down the rest of the walkway as you're moving, and you actually all need to now get out of there into the next elevator very quickly and into that elevator before anybody does anything.
Wait, can I ask a quick question?
Yep.
How many people are in this walkway?
There are about 5 people, and they're starting to take notice and are starting to freak out. They were a little bit disconcerted by that handrail disintegrating, but now that there is a sloshy man of some sorts running down the hallway, panicking and then rolling down the hallway, trailing slime behind him, people are actually shouting and getting really freaked out. So somebody needs to mitigate this.
Can I have an idea.
Okay.
Would it be possible for me to just quickly transport from shoulder to shoulder and distract them?
Yes.
With my pixie dust?
Yes, so actually you're very well set up to do this. So roll 3 die and take the best of 3.
Okay. 5.
Okay, so what ends up happening is one of the people who ends up shouting the loudest, right as you appear and you jump from right onto their shoulder and right onto the person next to them, who also ends up shouting, and you immediately realize that this is a secret forbidden work relationship, and you just throw some dust into their face, and you can immediately convince them to abandon all pretenses and just start declaring their love for each other and making out on the walkway, basically, which just adds to the confusion. Yes. So with you managed to do that, which has added sufficient amount of confusion that nobody knows what's happening at this point, and you can teleport right back to Hexia's shoulder, as I'm assuming, Hexia, you're just, I'm presuming you're probably bolting straight for the elevator as fast as you can keep up with the rolling ball of slime. Is that about right?
Yes, although I would like to note that Hexia would want to corrode the cell phones in some way.
Oh, good call. Okay, yeah. Roll three die and take the best of three.
Got a five.
Okay. All there is somebody pulling out their cell phone to record all of this, and it just you just give them a mean look, point your staff, and it just disintegrates in their hand. Nobody is getting a recording of this. Okay, so
wait, or if there is, it's just like a 2-second recording of someone pointing at the phone, and then it fizzles dead.
Yeah. So Nick, I am gonna let there be an advantage from this disgusting ball rolling thing that you're doing here as you roll right towards the elevator. You pass a newspaper stand. Roll three die and take the best of three to see if you can just slop one of those right up onto you while you're rolling past.
Oh, God. That would be five.
Yes, so you get a newspaper of the day, just slorps right up into you, which is helpful because that'll contain some useful information, as you roll at right over to an elevator that's opening up and has some people getting up, and then they shout as the door opens and another person's about to take out their phone. Hexia, roll three die to disintegrate that phone.
Six.
What did you get?
Six.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You disintegrate it. You disintegrate all the phones. All those phones are gone. There are just no phones in this area. And then you just give everyone...
Can I distract them so that they also don't go spread the word?
Yes. Are you going to basically try to confuse them and make them think that this is something else or what?
I'm going to shoulder hop and make them think that this is some sort of like corporate quality control thing of a loose lips sink ships type of corporate policy.
Oh, absolutely. So that's a little bit difficult given everything that's going on here and how fast you have to ask. But you have the skills right for this scenario. So even though this is a difficult roll, you still get to roll two die and take the best of two.
Okay. Four.
Okay. Yes, you managed to convince the people that this is some sort of corporate thing. Unfortunately, they are going to, what the downside is, the employees are really mad about it. And they're already like, we're going to start a meeting. Yeah, we're going to start a meeting about this ridiculous bullshit that our employer is doing, destroying our phones and blah, blah, blah. And so they're starting to basically rally about that. But anyway, Jerumphy, you managed to roll right into the elevator and like stick right, like smack right into the back of it. And Hexia, you and Styx can just basically hop right into it before the door closes.
Wonderful.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So you have been told to go straight to the top, to the penthouse suite of this apartment building.
Let's do it.
Okay. You hit
Styx is going to make some sort of joke about spending a lot of time in penthouses.
Right. Well, you are in
good
the business
place to sow evil.
You are in the business district of this city. So you go straight to the top, right to the swankiest of the suites in the penthouse, and the door opens straight into the penthouse. Although there is a basically an airlock type of thing. And you see a very, very well-suited man come to the door, and he's basically sipping out of a martini, and he's like, ah, yes, I've been told that you three would be coming, and he, like, presses in an authorization code, and the door opens, and you can enter into his apartment suite.
Cool.
Yep.
I say we enter.
Yep.
Okay.
Do any of us recognize him?
let me give you your first visual impression, and then let's do some rolls to see whether or not you'd have any background knowledge. So he introduces himself, says, "Hello, welcome. My name is Peter Plentyment." Everybody do, and what you first see is you see that he is a, you see that he looks incredibly well-groomed. He looks like as if he's like about 29. Definitely looks like he is very interested in fashion and keeping up appearances, basically. I'm going to have each one of you do a roll, but I want you to make a decision. Are you trying to see whether or not you know information about him previously, prior to this event? Or are you trying to see whether or not you are trying to kind of get a read on him? Who wants to do what?
I think it would be reasonable that the manager, the regional manager of human resources, would have some sort of knowledge of him. So I would probably base my role off of that. I would also say that I think for Hexia, just having sort of access to that factual knowledge, she is going to be hampered a little bit because this is exactly the sort of person that she couldn't stand as a human and was responsible for her death as a human.
Mm-hmm.
So she has sort of a, or at least that's the vibe she gets, so that she has kind of an irrational dislike of him just right away.
Okay.
Despite whatever she knows.
Right. Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, that makes sense. And I have a feeling that Sticks, what you would probably doing, I'm guessing, is going straight for the trying to get a good read on him, especially being a shoulder angel. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm gonna hop to his shoulder and
maybe subtly drop some pixie dust as you try to get a read.
Well, I feel like this would also be part of a shoulder demon's job, right? You have to kind of get a read on their vices in order to in order to push them towards their vices, right?
Yes. So
I would think so.
I'm going to say, I think that there's a really good opportunity here. So Jerome V. Bear, if you have an idea on what you want to do, you can just do it. But I think there's an opportunity for you to back up Sticks by distracting this person enough that they are not getting a sense that Sticks is doing this. Is that how we basically want to play it? We'll go with Hexia first to see how much you know as in terms of background. Drumpy, mm-hmm. you do some sort of distraction, and Sticks, you end up doing the investigation. Is that about personality? Yeah. Does that sound about right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay, so Hexia, first, let's see what you already know. So roll 3 die and take the best of 3.
Wow, 1 all around.
Whoa. Holy
moly. Oh, she'd
hate
that.
Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Do you want to spend a food point to re-roll it, any one of those die, or do you want to just take that as is? You have
no,
4.
No, I'll take it.
Okay.
I'll take it. I think it's interesting that she doesn't actually know anything, because that would really piss her off.
Yeah, so you know, not only do you know nothing, you are incredibly uncomfortable and incredibly on edge. This feels so upsetting to be here right now, and you are having to keep your shit together. And both under the discomfort for the kind of person this you believe this person is, and also for the stress of being unprepared, which is not the kind of person you like to be. So Jerumphy Bear, meanwhile, you are performing some sort of distraction. What kind of distraction are you performing?
So I'm just going to go up to him, slap him on the back, be like,
gross.
I'm so glad you're here today, and like whip out the date book and be like, I'm so glad you could keep our appointment, and just insinuating that I have grand plans for him.
Oh, are you also pulling out your Casio calculator watch as well? And like, you know, like comparing both of them, maybe your date book and your watch, and like just like showing how on top of things you are. Obviously.
Oh, absolutely. And okay. Yeah, we're using the watch to like give him a glimpse of the slight future where he's made a lot of things slightly worse for a lot of people. And, you know,
okay,
he probably likes that.
Okay, roll 3 die and take the best of those 3.
Oh, don't be all 1. a one and two threes.
Okay. Do you want to spend a foo point? You have
I'll spend a point.
Okay, to bring it up to a four. Okay, so you brought it up to a four, which means that, yes, you've distracted him, but he really hates you now. Like, he really does not want you in here. He is mad at the, he knew he was supposed to be collaborating with some demons, but really, for a well-put-together person like him to be, like, have, like, you know, a slimy slap on the back, he cannot wait to get you out of here. He is really upset. But Morgan, that is enough to add one to Morgan. So, Morgan, you added an extra point to where Morgan is at. Morgan, roll four and take the best of four.
Okay, I only have three actual dice, so... Oh, well, the best is already six, so I'm not going to bother to roll the fourth die.
Okay, great.
Unless you want to give me a seven.
No, it would have been if Nick hadn't done what he was doing, you would have had to roll a two and take the best of two. But what Nick had set up, you got to roll those four. So that's
all of the dice.
Yeah, basically, you were incredibly well set up by that scenario, even though he's very displeased. So.
Yeah, let's see what's in this dude's pervy brain.
So immediately you get several things. One, he is not directly, his interests do not directly align with this assignment. There's something that he is planning on doing that is contrary to this assignment.
Don't do it.
And wait a minute. That's a glamour. That's a glamour he's got on. He doesn't look like this. This isn't the person he is. And I'm going to say that right now, and if you don't succeed, you'll be able to collaborate with your other friends to give them chances as well. But you're so well set up right now that actually we'll just roll over that other die you didn't roll. Three die and take the best of three to be able to see whether or not you can see through the glamour immediately.
Okay. Five.
Okay. Yeah, you see through the glamour. Oh my gosh. Wait a minute. This guy, he looks very, very, very similar to BTB, the Omni-CEO. Like, shockingly similar. Like, a little bit younger, like, not purple or gray. He looks like a human that looks very similar. And,
is this a demon human love child?
Yeah, it's incredibly strange. And he looks both old and young at the same time.
Not a good look.
Yeah, he does not look like the same person.
Can I, since I haven't actually done any actions yet, can I sprinkle some pixie dust to tell him he should take off his jacket now that it's got like goo on it, and hopefully that'll disrupt his glamour.
Sure. So why don't you you're pulling more attempts to convince him right after you did a bunch of other things, so roll two die and see what you get. Take the best of two.
Five.
Okay, all right, yeah, you convince him to take off his coat out of annoyance, and I'm going to give that as an opportunity for Hexia and Jerumphy Bear. Both of you can roll two and see if you can catch anything else in that moment.
Five.
Yeah,
okay.
Go team.
You both see through the glamour as well. You both see that he looks very similar to BTB. It does not look like similar as in terms of like a childlike similarity. It looks similar, like more like an identical twin type similarity. So that's strange. So anyway, so he takes off his coat and he says, I think we should all just get down to business. Okay. Let's just get to it. And he says, I know you've already been briefed on the lamp murals. And they're already, they're in the ocean. I, as the only business partner of that has been given authorization to be able to ship things out of the demon realm, I have been, here, what I have here is a sample that's been cooked up by Demonstrative Industries Elixir Laboratories that is supposed to basically neutralize these creatures. And if you sprinkle into the water above where they are, it'll just kill them. They'll just dissipate into shadow. That's all you need to do. It's very easy. And he hands you the bottles.
Seems like a lie, but okay.
Yeah.
Now, when you said identical twin, is it more identical twin or evil twin?
Yeah.
I'm
or good twin.
I was going to say we're demons, though.
I'm not giving you any of that information. Yeah. I'm okay. Just saying that he looks like if the other character was not demon-like, it would be an incredibly similar look. Like, if you removed some of the demon aspects and only left the human aspects, it would look incredibly similar.
It's like when you see one of the actors that is a demon on Buffy, but like, yep. without their makeup.
Yeah, it's almost as if you just removed that, if you just removed exactly the math demon property, then it would look just like him. So, he hands you these and he says, so I'm certain that you're all sleuthy enough that you'll be able to track all of these down and take them out. So, basically off to it.
Okay.
And, is there anything else you want to say or talk to him about? Any questions you want to ask about his business or anything like that before you disappear? Or would you just all want to get out of there?
I kind of want to know if, at least from what this guy is going to tell us, if this poison is going to affect other things in the ocean.
Okay.
Because he's basically like, here's this poison, just dump it right in there.
Yeah, so should we wait until they migrate to... like a fishing spot?
Styx, do you care? Because like Ambrosia likes watching the whales or something.
Don't get me wrong, I'm a demon. I mean I probably care because Ambrosia would be sad if killed a bunch of whales.
I actually feel like Hexia might be more upset about this actually.
Yeah, based off of Hexia's background. Would be more upset if it, I would be upset about it because it would make my girlfriend sad. My totally not girlfriend, I'm sorry, what?
All right, so Hexia, why don't you roll three die and take the best of three to see if you can get a sense of whether or not this is going to hurt anything around it.
Five.
It won't hurt any... He's saying, oh, no. This won't hurt any ocean life. It won't hurt any ocean life. It won't hurt anything else it comes into contact with, except for the lamp morals. Not really, just by pouring it into the water. That's not going to injure anything else. And he is not lying about that, but it's also obviously has a large emission. So it's not going to hurt any aquatic life. If you pour it into the water, it's not going to hurt anything there, but it's going to probably do something else that doesn't involve a hurting aquatic life.
Mm-hmm. And I assume that that's the side effects, not something that he would be forthcoming about.
It could be. You don't know, but you definitely know that there's something else that will end up happening. You also don't really know whether or not this thing even does the thing that he claims it does.
Mm-hmm.
It might actually do something different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By the way, actually, Hexia, just for fun, why don't you roll three die and see if you know anything you don't know about him, but you might know something about his business.
Three.
Okay. So you don't know about his business, but you have this odd feeling that it has something to do with internet reviews for products on the internet, but it's probably not too relevant to this particular story, but a fun side story detail.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, that's...
I do have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that Peter he has this contract for shipping between like the demon realm and the moral realm.
Mm-hmm.
Was he in part or in whole responsible for the lamp morals getting out?
That's a great question. How would you want to go about inquiring about that. Are you going to ask him that?
I have an idea.
Okay.
We can ask him that if I whisper in his ear. Tell him that he should just brag about his exploits.
Are we trying
play
to
play on his vanity?
Okay.
No, basically I'm going to play on his vanity because, I mean, he can't brag to anyone in the human realm about how clever he was.
All right. Roll two die and take the best of two. He's trying to keep this close to his chest, but this is what you're good at.
Four.
Okay. So he doesn't make it really clear. He makes some odd, uncomfortable off comments. He does seem to indicate in some way, well, no. I didn't expect the lamp merles to appear like this. I didn't think that they'd be appearing like this time, which you don't really know what his involvement is on this one exactly. You do get the sense that he's not lying that he didn't expect them to appear this time, but it's not as if he didn't know about them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Also, this time. Didn't expect them this time.
That's an interesting phrase that he used there. Okay, so you can all leave if you'd like, or you can try to press your luck. He obviously wants you gone, though.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's freaking me out.
All right, so you can all go into the elevator. He opens the door. He wishes you adieu. Any last minute shenanigans I have to ask Drumpy Bear before you end up departing this room?
I guess the question is, what from his office is stuck to me?
Oh, great question. Yes, of course. Roll three die and take the best of three to see what can end up getting stuck.
And also, his carpet is ruined.
Good.
Two sixes.
Okay, well, that is great. That's very interesting. You managed to stick something to you that is some sort of interesting looking piece of paper that, in fact, appears to have the insignia of your organization, Demonstrative Industries, on it. That just happens to stick to you. You know, some medication that he might have needed stuck to you. Also some extra candy. Is that candy? Not really clear. Don't worry. You get to have it later. Stuck to you. And also large chunks of the very fancy Persian rug that was underneath you just rip off and stick to the underside of your foot as you depart the building.
You've now got some new soles to your feet.
That's right. That new sole look. So you all get in the elevator, I'm assuming. You go through the airlock, you're in the elevator. You don't have to go down immediately. You can hold the door closed or something for about a minute before the alarm will start going off as you make a plan of what you want to do. What would you like to do before you move on to the next location? And by the way, you have a lot of interesting information on you now. You might want to try to find some place where you can kind of sit and kind of sort through it, but the elevator will start beeping if you're here for longer than a minute. I mean, you could even just try to go to, like, the beach or something like that and just find a corner that people are not hanging out at.
Yeah.
Totally.
Or you could go to the lobby, We could go
and go to the beach and rent a boat, because we have to go out on the ocean anyways. And then once we have a boat, we'll be alone.
I would like to test the substance, like, even if we just get a cup of in a small controlled area. Mm-hmm.
There is a map of this building out, by the way, and there is what looks like a very sad coffee shop, like a sad corporate coffee shop that you could possibly stop by. And you could probably find a corner of that to just sit and sort through your information if you wanted to.
Yeah, we can do that. I'm okay with that.
All right. So you can press a button. You sit down, roll two die. Somebody roll two die. Drumpy Bear, roll two die and take the best of two to see if you manage to not make any more distractions. It's a pretty empty area with this sad coffee shop, so you're probably fine.
That's a three.
Okay, despite it being a relatively easy place to get through, Drumpy Bear, you are still managing to, everyone else manages to sit down at the coffee shop without creating a scene, but you have already upset the barista in some very unclear way, but it looks like she's like, oh no, like, this really looks like one of those clients.
And well, can I do damage control?
Sure.
I've clearly asked her for, like, or him, I've clearly asked them for some sort of demon coffee shop only drink, like the Tears of Enemies Black.
And she just thinks you're being, like, they just think you're being one of those guys that's like trying to be clever. And they're like, buddy, this is Wendy's. Like, I'm just trying to get through my shift.
Yeah, we don't have that here. We don't have that at the coffee shop. You can have a latte if you want with whipped cream and extra sugar.
And add gummy bears as a topping?
No, but we have sprinkles and caramel syrup.
Whichever topic will make me suffer most.
That'd be the extra sugar pro-diabetic topping. So yeah, the so anyway, she's like, you know what, it's on the house, which is good because you don't have any money anyway, probably. Like, or you might have come with money. That they probably equipped you with some. But anyway, she just wants you out of there. So she's just making this thing and putting it on there, but like is like trying to get you out of her sight, basically, and just looks, you know. So she makes a thing, plunks it down, and is just like staring at her phone. So anyway, so you can all sit in the corner. So several things.
Wait, can I do my damage control that I was gonna do?
Sure, sure.
I want to hop her shoulder and convince her that today is the day that fuck it, she's just taking all the tips. She doesn't get paid enough for this shit.
Okay, great. Roll three die and take the best of three.
Six.
You know what? She's going to take all the tips, and she might just take a little bit more out of the cash register, too. She's definitely going to do that. So anyway, so you can all settle down in the corner. So right now, you've got a wealth of information stuck to Drumpy Bear. You have a newspaper. And you have some sort of thing that has official insignia of it on that was clearly written out for Peter Plentiment. So you can take a look through both of those.
Do we have to roll to do that?
Not really. Well, actually, let me give you the information that you just get from looking at it, and then you can decide what you'd want to do with that information. So what you see is that in the newspaper, there is the report of some sort of giant eel a monster, like basically grabbing someone and pulling them out of the water. And apparently this got recorded on someone's phone and uploaded somewhere on the internet. It got all viral. A bunch of people are saying it's just a conspiracy theory. There's no such thing. And other people are saying, no, really, like we're like, this is like a new creature, like that's like from some sort of, you know, like that's from another era. And some people are like, you know, it's aliens. Obviously, it's aliens, basically. There is a video that you could view on the internet if you wanted to. That's what you see in the newspaper. And what you see on the letterhead, you see that there is a instructions to be able to get this elixir to be able to hand you all. And what do you know? Everybody roll two die and take the best of two.
Shit, I got ones. Two ones.
Two twos.
Okay.
Hey, Drumpy.
Okay. Hexia is too busy, I think, trying to figure out how to be able to escalate this shoplifting situation, I'd assume, for that, you know.
Sticks.
Sticks is. Like, why not? Why not escalate this? Why start? Why not just try to take down the whole system, basically, or something like that?
Yeah, I am empowering this girl to follow her dreams.
And so not only are you not paying attention, you're not even at the table. Hexia, what did you get?
Two.
Okay, so you did not notice it, but it's no problem for you because Drumpy Bear is like, ah, look. So what you notice, Drumpy Bear, is that there is, like, the numbers. These aren't the same numbers. Ha! that's funny. He gave us the wrong one. So the instructions from corporate headquarters were to give you, let's see, EF2348. And instead, he ended up giving you EF2349. That's strange. This is a different elixir. Maybe. And so what's extra funny, you put this together and you're like, huh, that's really funny, because they probably just made this new elixir exactly for this purpose with 2348, which means if 2349 came right after it, he probably made a completely different one. That was like immediately after the fact for a different purpose. That's funny. But that also means that somehow he has to have a connection to those labs to be able to convince somebody to be able to make that.
And we're talking about demonic labs here, right?
Yeah. So this is the demonic labs on the other, back in your dimension, basically. So that there, that's very strange. Why did he give you the wrong elixir?
And what does it do?
Yep.
Of course, my natural inclination is to put a drop on my tongue to just find out how it tastes, but...
Oh, God.
I was going to suggest a more measured route of doing this. And
that sounds
exactly having...
like something he would...
Oh, you know what, yeah. Nick? Here
so,
you go.
So, wait. Okay. Oh, no.
All right. No, go ahead. Sticks, well, you're not at the table, Sticks. You don't get any input on this.
I'm not.
Jerumpy Bear,
Hexy is not paying attention.
Yeah, you're like, what could it do? And you put it on your you put a drop on your tongue. You feel great. You feel very susceptible to listening to other people's ideas. What? Any ideas that somebody supplied you right now might be a good one. But, like, also...
If I was paying close enough attention, I would really be giving him some ideas right now. This sounds like a toy that I want to play with.
But the more it sits on your tongue, the more you kind of want to go back up to that apartment and get some ideas from that wonderful man you spent some time with. Maybe he could supply you the ideas.
Oh...
Yeah, okay, that dude wants a Lapmoral army, okay. The flying monkeys.
Right.
So, Hexia, you've been fairly distracted, but I might actually suggest a reason why you might be distracted. Somebody, don't forget that there was another piece of information that involves that newspaper, and you know that there are internet videos.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it would be a good opportunity to try to find that. If only you could find some sort of person that had a phone that could let you see something.
I could just add this to whispering in the barista's ear.
If you bring your phone with you, then they'll be able to track you.
Oh, right. So I'm assuming, Hexia, you like gesture Sticks over to let her know about this part of the newspaper article.
And in the background, the barista is just clearing out the cash register.
Yeah, that's right. She's just clearing out the cash register. She's just saying, you know what? Fuck this job. They don't pay me. You know, fuck all these clients. Like this stupid corporate hellhole. And she's just stuffing it all in her, basically the smock that she's given. And her phone's sitting right there. Sticks, you come over to Hexia. Hexia, what do you tell Sticks?
Our friend brought this with him. Mr. Bear brought this with him. And it looks like somebody got video of the Lamp Morels, and it's on the internet. I need to take a look at it. I need to know what the humans know, and also maybe get a better sense of what we're dealing with.
Cool. So you need to get on the internet.
Yes.
One second. I pop back over to my barista's shoulder.
All right. Roll 3 die.
Oh, I got 2 6s.
Okay.
Nice.
And a 2, but...
You know what? You convince her, you know what? Screw technology. Screw cell phones. They're just a tool of the bourgeoisie to control us, to spy on us,
The man can follow you.
Yeah, the man can follow you. You know what? So she's just like, you know what? Screw this. And she just throws it in the garbage. And since you're convincing her, throws it in the garbage on the other side that is very easily accessible to customers. And is like, you know what? I'm actually going to become an anti-cell phone advocate after this thing. So that is very easily accessible. Hexie, you can just walk over and just scoop that right out of there.
Wonderful. And I do that. Careful to make sure that all of my tribute-oriented magic sort of contained.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to make you roll for that. I think if you're being very conscious about it, it's not going to be a problem. So you pull it out of there. Yeah, you can very easily find this video. You do a search. It's one of the first videos that comes up. What you see in this video, so the thing that you can see without paying close attention is you see that the Lantmeral, basically there's a bunch of people hanging out and partying on this beach, and then suddenly some teenagers start screaming and they're running out of the water and they're like, there's like a shark or something, there's a shark or something, and there's this old man walking by the water, and then suddenly the Lantmeral appears to just launch out of the water and bites him, pulls him onto the ground, and then flips over, smacks the other side, the lamprey side, mouth onto it, which grabs onto him and then just pulls him into the water. I'm assuming at this point you're showing everybody. So, yeah. I'm going to say everybody can roll 2 die, except for Hexia. You can roll 3 die and take the best of those.
I got 3.
4.
5.
Okay. Sticks and Drumpy Bear, Sticks, you're more interested in this interface because you've never seen an interface like this before. So you're not really paying that much attention, but you are getting really intrigued by it. And Drumpy Bear,
I'm thinking of the debauchery, the debauchery possibilities with things like Instagram.
Oh yes, so much. People who could send pictures of so many things that are ill-advised. Absolutely. Drumpy Bear, you notice that it seems awfully funny. Why would it need 2 mouths? That's all you're thinking about. Why would it need 2 mouths? And what Hexia sees is what you see that's really strange is that there's something on this Lantmeral that was not on it in the slides. Very tiny, stubby legs on the side.
Oh, no.
That appear to have, like, newly formed and are not fully formed yet. And anyway, it pulls that thing right into the water.
Good. Good. Okay.
So what do you want to do? What next?
These things were a great idea.
I think Hexia would definitely like turn to the others and be like, "There, correct me if I'm wrong, but on the slides, those definitely have legs, vestigial or otherwise, right? That's new."
New, yeah. I wasn't paying attention, but
you can press.
I don't think that was there.
Yeah.
I wasn't paying attention to the slides either. I was trying to levitate my chair.
That's right. So you're really not much help here right now.
But I will answer confidently anyways.
I don't think they had legs. And they haven't been Earthside very long. So that's worrying.
Mm-hmm. Also, it was sucking the guy's face and not in the good way.
Wait. Oh. It was not sucking his face. It didn't grab his face. It grabbed onto him. In fact, you can watch it again in the video. Where it grabs onto him is actually more lower, like mid section of his body.
front or back?
It grabs and onto him.
Is it in the good way or not? Is it in the way that Styx would expect?
It's probably not going to be good no matter what. It might hit an area.
It is a mouthful of teeth.
Yeah. It,
oh, no.
There may,
he's a demon.
It is possible that Dentata area did hit that area, though. As a GM, I actually had not considered that somehow.
Oh, God.
I don't know why.
That was your first mistake.
I should have known these.
Leave it to a shoulder demon.
That's right. Okay.
To come up with nightmare BJs.
Probably somewhere around there. That was not supposed to be an interesting story detail, but more importantly, that it did hit in the mid body range. Yes. So, and then it pulls him into the water.
Was the body ever recovered?
The body. So that's a quick internet search. Roll three die and take the best of three.
Six.
Okay, yeah, the body was not recovered. The family is claiming that this is that is trying to call for an investigation, but the police say there are no leads, and a lot of people on the internet are saying this is still a hoax and blah blah blah. But that body has not been recovered. You do know what beach it is, though. That's a plus okay. side of your thing. So you actually know exactly where it is, and it's not far.
I say we don't waste much time on.
Nope, let's go to the beach.
Yeah. Question: are we keeping the cell phone because it could be useful, or are we not keeping the cell phone because realistically the police are going to be looking for that girl?
That's up to you. I mean, you can probably ditch it really easily if you need to. And like the police are not going to be.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think the police
Plus,
are going to.
I'm thinking we could do my girl a solid and take it with
Lead
us
away.
So that the police look in the wrong place for her.
That gives
her more time to commit crimes.
I like an underdog. So.
Okay. All right. You can take that. You can totally take that with you. Why not?
Let's put it in like a Ziploc bag and then stick it inside Mr. Bear, because if I'm not focused, I'll fry it. But his slime should insulate it.
Yeah.
To enough of a degree.
It's a Faraday substance.
Exactly. He's Faraday slime.
All right.
There
are enough sufficient amount of to-go wrappings around here that you can just, and you're like, you actually go up to the snack tree and she's just like, yeah, whatever, take whatever you want from that. You know, like, take whatever you want. And she just like, you know, like, she just like, she doesn't care. So you can take whatever that. You can also take some snacks to go if you want. They have cake pops, so why not, right? Like, so.
Cake pops is like an entire friggin' cake to me.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you can just stick a couple of them, like, stick side in out of Drumpy Bear so that, like, you know, maybe the cake part will remain good later when you want it. So you can totally wrap that and stick it in Drumpy, and it should be fine.
So I also feel like I'm going to tell everyone what a great idea this elixir is right now. And it's just filled with great ideas.
Are you also going
to
tell
them? You know what's a great idea? Let's not go to that guy's office.
Yeah.
But have you all picked up now, I think what you're trying to say is like you're talking about that and even talking about how great he is, and you're basically it's pretty obvious to Hexia and Styx that like after you basically are like, oh yeah, I had some, that like that's what happened. So I think player communication can flow out there that this had some sort of kind of mind control type effect of some sort.
Yep.
Okay.
So we are not using this potion.
It kind of wore off after, you know, the coffee, but...
Okay.
Wait, did it, Chris?
All that sugar neutralized it.
It has not. It has not
okay.
worn off. If you come into
so
contact...
So did Nick give himself a penalty?
Nick has what we call a condition in Freeform Universal, where any interaction he's going to have with that guy for the rest of this game... he is going to be very susceptible to any idea.
Do we know that he's now under the influence of this?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Okay. He, I mean, Jerumphy's saying stupid shit, like, you know, so.
But not the normal stupid shit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So you
know where that creature went. So you could go directly there, or you could try to investigate the elixir stuff, or you have a lot of leads at this point. What would you like to do?
Well, so my thought here is that, so we got do we get 8 or 9 elixir wise? I wrote down both of the numbers, but I missed which one we got.
You got 9, and you were you were he was instructed to give you 8. So that's why he gave you that's why you know that it's BS basically. That that he constructed something new.
Do we have means of like reaching out to our home realm? Because I'd love to know what the elixir was supposed to be.
So I think that you have basically small communication devices that allow you to basically send messages back, start a very brief, like a video call that'll be very crappy in quality, but you can basically send messages to the other side and start very crappy video calls with people.
Okay.
So do we want to do that before we go to the beach, send a message to ask what elixir number 8 was supposed to be?
I think that'd be a good idea.
Or do we want to just proceed with the intention of like capturing this thing instead of killing it?
So why don't, I mean, you can do whatever you want, but you could also start the process of reaching out to people and kind of do more reaching out, and information can flow in as you're doing other things asynchronously.
That works.
Okay.
For me, anyway.
I feel like
just Hexia, like shoot off a message.
Yeah, Hexia, you're the most well-positioned person in the highest level of management in the organization to start your connections, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't you roll 3 die to start your connections of reaching out and trying to find people within the elixir department?
I did get a 6.
You got a 6. Oh shit. Yeah. So you managed to reach out. People, yeah, there's been some weird things being made lately. Some people were wondering why stuff was made. You managed to get some direct contacts with some people who have had a number of questions, and you even got the contact with somebody who said that they'd be willing to do a phone call with you in about like half an hour to an hour. That supposedly worked on it, who was really concerned.
Okay.
So, in the meanwhile, are you going to basically head out to the water, or what are you going to do?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, I agree.
Crash my jalopy! What will happen next? What awaits our demonic friends at the human beach? Is it ghastly monsters? Or perhaps too much sand between the toes? Find out on the next exciting episode of Foss and Crafts Theater.
Foss and Crafts is released under the Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 4.0 International license.
It's hosted by Morgan Lemmerweber and Christopher Lemmerweber.
The intro music is composed by Christopher Lemmerweber, meaning myself, and Milky Tracker, and is released under the same license as the show.
The outro music is Enchanted Tiki 86, composed by Alex Smith of the Cynic Project, and is waived into the public domain under CC0 1.0. See cynicmusic.com for more information.
You can get in contact with us on the Fediverse, Foss and Crafts at octodon.social, on Twitter as @FossandCrafts, or you can email us, podcast@fossandcrafts.org.
We also have a chat room. Join our community, #FossandCrafts, on irc.freenode.net.
If you'd like to support the show, you can donate at patreon.com/CWEBBER.
That's it for this week.
Until next time, stay free
and stay crafty.
The edges of the ocean in one of the large metropolitan cities. in Metroid 5. Or Mortaloid 5, sorry, not Metroid. Mortaloid 5.